Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
This is Sean Castrina with the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm excited because I have another founder. I have Alan Donegan with me. He's the founder of the Pop-Up Business School, and right now he's in Germany trying to avoid the coronavirus. Alan, it's great to have you on the podcast.
I've been so looking forward to this, Sean. I love your show.
Well, great. Thank you so much. So I always like to start with, how did you end up in this entrepreneurial space where you're at now? Not being employed by anyone, but obviously directing your own future financially, as well as, you know, having control over your career.
Well, I guess the short answer was I was fired.
That happened to me. That's what initiated mine.
And then you kind of look out there and go, is there any jobs I really want to do? And I couldn't find something that I wanted, so I decided to create my own one.
And what was that, your first one?
Oh, the first one, I'd been on what's called an NLP course. And I was like, this is amazing. Yeah. The world needs to do this.
Yeah, so I did made Tony Robbins a little bit of money.
Exactly. And I did what everyone who's ever been on an NLP course wants to do, which is set up a coaching training business. Yeah. But I found out very quickly that's a saturated market with a lot of people doing it.
Yeah.
But that was where I started, was wanting to do NLP training courses.
Yeah. No, we always start somewhere and then we evolve to where we're at now. So tell me, give me a quick evolution to where you're at now with the Pop-Up Business School.
Struggled with NLP training, learned how to do speaking through Toastmasters.
That's a great organization. I tell whenever I work with anybody who comes within my company or I speak at colleges, I go, do two things. Go to Toastmasters and take an improv class. Like if they're really quiet and they don't know how to speak out, I'm like, take an improv comedy class.
I love it.
Really
improv
will get you to be able to just quickly engage in with people you don't know about subjects you're uncomfortable with and whatever the case may be. I love the combination.
Yes. And that the key in what you said is getting used to uncomfortable situations and being comfortable in the uncomfortable. And it definitely leads to that. So Toastmasters led to doing a bit of stand-up comedy, which led to teaching people how to present. And then eventually I got a serious client. I landed Microsoft teaching them how to present and communicate, grew a training business.
I love how you just kind of drop Microsoft in there. It's like, you know, I was kind of going around and then I picked up, Microsoft. And you know. So how did you get Microsoft? How did that happen?
I found out they had a Toastmasters club in Microsoft. So I got the people in my group to introduce me to the president of their club. And I went along, made friends. I added value by helping them. And eventually that led to, do you want to come for lunch? We made friends, and you know how it is. You make friends.
Yeah, but you did what it is. Number one is I always say you need to find somebody in your life if you want to accomplish a big goal. One secret I found, you got to find one person who can advance you further than you can yourself. It might be an introduction. Sometimes it's they invest with you in a company or in you in a company. But the secret I have found to getting anywhere further than you know, when you got a really big goal in your head, something that's really, you know, audacious, it takes another person to create an introduction, or they have to do something for you.
Entrepreneurship is not a solo sport. Even though people idolize the people who go out there and do it on their own, it's not a solo support. We all need mentors, friends. We all need that stuff.
Absolutely. So, okay, you get Microsoft as a client, you're working with them. Take me.
You build a training business and sort of to back up slightly,
please.
I was launching my business, I went to the British government for support and they gave me a business planning workshop, a funding workshop, which is a code word for how to get debt to start up your business, and a marketing workshop. And they did more to put me off starting than they ever did to help me. And that created the thought, there must be a better way to help people than business plans and loans. There must be a better way to help people.
Yeah, you may need all the above, but there's an approach that is so outdated. It's just so antiquated, and I'm not a big fan of debt. I'm a fan of starting a business at a micro level that you can afford and just test the market, see if you've got something that's resonating, see if you got some traction. The problem with debt is debt forces you to go in bigger than you need to just because you have the money, and you chase a bad idea with too much money.
And you spend that money. You spend it on business cards and letterheads. Who needs letterheads in 2020?
Fancy office, that extra computer you didn't need. And it's crazy.
So that thought of there has to be a better way led to the idea that start from sales, not debt. And let's teach people how to start businesses from sales. And then I went on a bit of a crusade, a bit of a mission, Sean, to decide to change the belief that it takes money to make money. And I started this thing called Pop-Up Business School with the mission to go out there and prove you don't need money to start up. You can start for free. You can build a business from sales. Let's get going without debt. And that's what we've been doing for the last 8 years, traveling around the world, teaching debt-free startups.
So I would think that you're a big fan of the pre-sale.
Yes, this is when you speak to another co-founder.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a fanatic about it because I tell people, listen, of the two problems you can have in business, because you're going to have one of these two, you will have one of these two problems. It just depends what way you're going to go. And I think it's going to fall right in line with what you do. You're either A, going to have this idea that you think is so great. You're not going to test it the way you should in a small way. And you're going to put a lot of money into it. And the problem's going to be, nobody's interested. We have nobody interested. There's just no traction, no interest. Or you have problem B. You don't even have a product. You have a concept of a product. You have a product you think you can get your hands on. You have a product you think you can develop. You have something a course you believe you could put together in 2 weeks, and you pre-sell it and you have great interest in it. And now your problem is, okay, I got to actually make this happen. I'd much rather have problem B. You know, forced to scale quickly.
Most people never get to problem B because they're too afraid of putting the idea out in the world, being ripped off, it not working, too afraid of asking for the sale. There's a multitude of fears, but they never, ever get to problem B. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, no. And that's problem B is the problem I want. I haven't figured out how to solve problem A yet. Been doing it for 25 years and I haven't figured out how to solve problem A.
You just got to skip it. You've just got to skip it and sell that stuff.
Tell me about the Pop-Up Business School, what you do. And so my audience is, I wake up every day. I want to equip, encourage, and educate entrepreneurs. This is equipping. Your school is the equipping part of why I have this podcast. So tell them who needs this, why they need it, and what you guys do.
So who needs it? It's people who are trying to start a business, but they think they need money to get going. So if you want to work out how to get going quickly, and we work on the very early stages. So we're not an incubator, we're not a growth hub. We're very, very early stages. And we've managed to persuade government organizations, housing authorities, and corporate sponsors to give us the money. So in 8 years, no one has ever paid to come on our workshops. They're completely free. We give them away and we get sponsorship so that we can help the communities that need it the most.
Oh man, that's just, and how many countries do you guys work in, or have you guys worked in? And
last year we ran 44 2-week-long workshops in all over the UK, Scotland, Ireland, England, Wales. We went to Namibia, Morocco, France, New Zealand, and then the US. We came over to South Carolina. We were in Colorado. Slowly
amazing.
Spreading across the world, working on the
mission.
I'm
an advocate. I'm an evangelist of what you teach, because number one is that one of my 6 myths on what keeps people from starting a business is they think they need a lot of capital to start with. And I'm like, no, you really don't. As a matter of fact, it forces you to make mistakes because you can afford to make them. So you just, when you don't feel like you can afford to make mistakes, you naturally make less of them. And you're going to make some, but when you feel like you got this never-ending runway because you got this line of credit, you make unforced errors.
And I think, building on what you've said, the key is, and your audience, I'm sure, can attest this, we're all going to make mistakes. I have made a huge amount of mistakes. And the thing we keep going on about is make those mistakes quickly and without going into debt. So if you're going to fail, fail fast and fail cheap.
That's that's my thing. I did a podcast. I said that. I this is what I tell them. Fail fast, fail forward, learn something from it, and fail cheap. And I thought I was the only advocate of the failing cheap part. So I'm glad that I have somebody who shares that with me. I'm like, this idea, like failure, we glorify failure. And I'm like, okay, listen, I understand it, but let me be clear. I'd like to be failing less at my age now than I did in my 20s, okay? I'd like to learn something. If I'm going to fail, I'd like to extract as much information as humanly possible so I don't repeat it. And number three is if I can keep that failure to like not going all in, like in a poker game, I'm all for that as well.
Well, my early failures would take probably 6 months to a year and a lot of time and a lot of investment. And they were painful when those went wrong. Now, if I have an idea, I put it online, I put it in front of an audience and I will fail within a week. And then I can move on to the next idea and I can iterate, I can learn, I can achieve. But I'll fail twice as fast now I'm older. I don't like slow and painful failures, Sean.
No, I don't. I mean, and I, like I said, we know we can fail, but we it's the idea that like entrepreneurs take these crazy risks. That's not true. Entrepreneurs take extremely calculated risks, good ones do. Okay, you know, even when we jump out, we do like to know there is a backup parachute. We like to know that we're landing over water. You know, we try to soften the blow. We don't just do just tremendously dumb things. At least I try not to.
Well, I totally agree. People think that because I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a risk taker. And they kind of look at you and go, it's all right for you, Alan. You're a risk taker. And I think about it and I go, I don't think I've really taken many risks. I've never borrowed money. I've never gone into debt. I've never put my house online for the business. I've built some free websites and offered some people some stuff.
Yeah, I've given some time.
I've invested my reputation, my energy, and my time. So I guess actually it's I've chosen my risk.
Yeah.
And I think as an entrepreneur, you can choose which one. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I, as I'm concurring with that, we take calculated risks. We put things, but there are things that we know that what we're putting up. What I find, and you mentioned these entrepreneurs, you don't put up family business. You know, you don't put up families. In other words, you don't put up the house. Okay. You don't put up the college fund. You don't quit a job because you got this exciting idea. No, there's 168 hours in a week and you do two things at once for the next 6 months. And you earn the right to leave your business because you generated revenue. You created, as you would say, sales.
And this is actually where my desire to help change this around the world comes from. My dad was an entrepreneur. He went bankrupt for £3.6 million. And you can probably guess what that's about $5 million, I think. What's the only thing he had that secured against?
House.
Yeah, the family home that me, my brother and my mum lived in. And I spent 15 years fighting the bank to keep our family home. And I don't want that to ever happen to anyone else again. No one should have to go through that stuff. It's unnecessary.
You're so right. I love it. Tell my audience how they can be a part of this, because again, we equip you entrepreneurs out there. I have somebody on the show today that's telling you how to start a business without going into debt. Yeah, you're gonna have to spend a little bit of money. You're gonna have to earn money. Money doesn't exist in this equation. We're just showing you the way to do it without borrowing, which, you know, I'm a Dave Ramsey guy at 80% of me. You know, I've used money to make money in other areas once I actually had money, but I'm not a big fan of debt. And so I love where you're going with this.
I'm a big fan of Dave Ramsey's initial baby steps, how to get going. Yeah. And that led me onto the financial independence world. And now we do this because we want to help. And that's the most beautiful bit is when you fixed money as an issue, you can spend your time out there on a mission helping people. So how can people, how can we help them? I guess two simple ways. One, Google pop-up business school. We're the only thing that shows up, and come along to one of our free events. They've all had to go online because of COVID. Talk about a big shift.
Yeah.
But they're there. And two is to reach a wider audience, I did start a podcast, and one episode is 5 ways to build a business with no money. So just search my name and The Rebel Entrepreneur and you can find that. And that gives you, we've talked about the overview theory, and sometimes it's important to get into the details. We can't really do that on the 10 Minute Entrepreneur this episode, but there's plenty more. And you know this, there's the startup strategies, how to get it for free, how to borrow, how to barter.
All those things work. All those things work. I'm so excited. I have Alan Donegan with me here today. He's the founder of the Pop-Up Business School. You know, again, you're helping people build, you know, fulfill their entrepreneurial dream without going into debt. I'm a big fan of that. And I like that. I encourage my audience to Google the Pop-Up Business School, look into one of their free events, and then, you know, take advantage of everything being offered there. Alan, I really appreciate you being on the podcast today.
Sean, thank you. It's a pleasure. Let's go make profit rather than debt.
I like that idea. Sean Castorina with the 10 Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, where we equip, encourage, and educate entrepreneurs in the least amount of time possible. We will talk again soon.